Hello and welcome to Simply Save podcast from Money Control, our weekly personal finance show where we discuss all things money. The national pension system is set for a major overhaul in the weeks to come. For one, amendments to the Pension Funds Regulatory and Development Authority Act are awaiting parliamentary approval. This will result in separation of PFRDA and the NPS Trust. This apart, investment management charges are set to increase, as is the number of pension fund managers. Pension regulator has already permitted pension fund managers to invest in IPOs, FPOs, and offers for sale to offer a broader range of investment options to NPS subscribers. The FDI limit in pension fund management has been raised from 49% to 74%. To understand the rationale behind these raft of changes and how they will benefit NPS investors, we have with us today PFRDA Chairman Supratim Bandyopadhyay. Hello, Mr. Bandyopadhyay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, sir, the NPS space has already seen a lot of changes recently and is all set for more once the PFRDA Act is amended. So, how do you see the increase in cap from 49% to 74% and also the separation of the NPS Trust from PFRDA transforming this space?
I believe the FDI limit increase from 49 to 74 was a very good step. And actually, our FDI limit in pension funds is linked to what it is there in insurance companies also. Recently, you might have seen that in Insurance Act also, there is an amendment to right. which holding limit in insurance companies also was raised from 49 to 74. So, on the same lines, we have also raised to 74. And the initial outcome would be maybe initially not many foreign investors may be there. But in the long run, when they see that the sector is also opened up, I believe a lot of people, even foreign players also will take interest. And ultimately what happens when foreign players also come, they bring in their expertise not only in fund management, maybe expertise in different kind of products, which is possibly missing in the pension sector here today. So that will be a big boost to the pension sector. And so far as the current benefit are concerned, I believe a couple of pension fund managers who are almost close to 49% or just cross 49%, they will get a reprieve in the sense that they don't have to think of changing their stake immediately to bring it down to 49%. Because now they are getting a further liberalized scope of 70%. So this is how I look at it. And the second part, as you asked about the NPS. Trust separation. I think there is some conflict of interest because NPS trust is just another intermediary. Like we have fund managers, we have record keeping agencies and many other intermediaries. So NPS trust is an intermediary. Their job is to hold the assets for the benefit of the subscribers to the NPS. And secondly, their job is to focus on the fund management aspect. But earlier, what was happening with this separation, I believe NPS Trust will be able to focus more on their core activities, that is looking into the performance of the pension fund managers, looking into the performance of the custodian and the trustee bank, which are directly linked with the fund management. So they will be looking into their core activities, and that way I believe the system will be even more stronger. And with separation, the conflict of interest that they are an intermediary to us, which needs to be supervised by us. But at the same time, we are the author or the settler of the trust, creator of the trust. So this was kind of a conflict which was there since the beginning. That also will be renewed. So both the purposes will be served.
Right. And the other big move is, of course, getting more pension fund managers on board. So how soon do you expect to complete that process that's already been initiated? And secondly, why do you think prospective sponsors will see the revised charge structure that PFRDA has come up with, which is of course slightly higher than the current one, as sustainable?
What actually we wanted to do was to ensure that with a lot of players and strong sponsors coming in, the competition will be there in the market. And anywhere, whether it is banks, whether it is insurance companies, we have seen that competition brings in the best for the customers. Ultimately, the customers get benefited. So we also wanted to see that all the good sponsors, those who have very strong and good track record, to come in and join them. And thereafter, what we have done is now in the month of July, we opened on-tap registration of pension fund managers. This is the first time we have done it. And 1 month time was given. That was over on 30th of July. There also we got two very good applications and the committee is now looking into that. And thereafter, I believe end of this month, we may have a board meeting with the board approval. These two sponsors, if they are meeting all the eligibility conditions, then they will also be allowed to float pension fund managers. So 8+2, maybe another few months time, we'll see 10 pension fund managers working. I believe from 7 to 10, that is a good rise. And that will also bring in a lot of innovations in the market. And ultimately, the customers will benefit. About the pension fund management charges, yes, it was very less. It was just about a paise. And now we have increased it to about 9 paise. 9 paise is the highest. The lowest is 3 paise. But the lowest is because now the fee is on basis of certain slabs. Like those who are managing 1.5 lakh crore or more, they will get 3 paise over and above 1.5 lakh crore. So that makes their business very, very sustainable. That will also allow them to generate some bit of surplus to see that they reinvest it in their business back in the sense of getting the best manpower from the market, getting the best IT expertise from the market and all that. So I believe it will make them sustainable. And a lot of, that's why this new applications that we are getting, I believe it is as a result of increase of their fund management charges.
And also you're set to allow pension fund managers to invest in IPOs and FPOs of large companies. And you've of course already specified a minimum market capitalization threshold for the purpose. So could you just explain what is the rationale behind this decision and how will subscribers, retirees benefit from this move?
The basic rationale was we have two sets of different fund management guidelines or investment guidelines. One is for private sector and one is for government sector. In government sector, IPOs were not allowed. So we thought if we don't allow, and the government sector itself controls more than 80% of the asset base. So pension fund managers and the subscribers are missing out on certain opportunity that should be given to them. So with some broad guidelines, we have issued this directive that now they can go into IPOs. But as you said, with some conditions on the minimum market capitalization and all that. So that is there so that they go into only big ones, having a good track record. Only those IPOs they choose. Of course, ultimately, which particular IPO they will pick up within those guidelines is absolutely their option. But basically, it will, I believe, give them a much, much wider universe. And in the same line, what we have done in our equity secondary market investment guideline also, which was limited to 5,000 crore of market cap and that stock being in futures and option segment, that also used to restrict their investment horizon. So there also what we have done, we said that top 200 companies, BSE, NSE, that will be your guideline. You need not look into the market cap part. Because we have seen the last company in top 200, list of top 200 companies, they also have a market cap of more than 17,000 crore. So that way, these are all large cap companies, well researched. Right. That will give them a better, I believe, investment universe.
Okay. And another significant move, of course, that's been talked about for a while now. You're also planning to allow systematic withdrawal plan as an option to subscribers who may not want to buy annuities. Which is mandatory at present. So, how soon can we expect that to rectify?
That is linked to our PFRDA bill amendment.
Right.
You know that already that is there for consideration of the government.
Hmm.
Once that is approved by the parliament, then only we can look into this kind of product. Because today, what is there in the act that when somebody retires and goes out of the system, the person can choose only annuity as an exit option. So other options are not there at all. So we actually told government that and annuity rates are pretty low now. So we told government that let us give one more option in the form of systematic withdrawal plans. And of course, once the act is through, thereafter we'll sit down and create some kind of a product. It requires a lot of actuarial inputs. Actually, it is not very easy. Because not only that, if you want to substitute annuity, one thing about annuity that I want to say is it's a lifelong kind of a penalty. And even there are annuities where after the unfortunate death of that original subscriber, the spouse will get the same kind of annuity, and thereafter maybe the entire purchase price or the corpus with which that annuity was bought will come back to the given heir. So all these things are there. So ultimately, it should take care of the longevity. It's not that systematic individual plan will end in 5 and 10 years. And when people are living maybe another 18, 20 years beyond 60, and that period is left uncovered. So all these issues we have to tackle. But as I said initially, it is all connected with the approval of the PFRDA amendment bill. So we are getting there.
Right, right. So was this move prompted by any demand from subscribers who wanted an alternative to annuities?
Yeah. We are getting a lot of letters, not really complaints. They say that the annuity rates are pretty low. Mm-hmm. And we absolutely agree. Look at the annuity rates. It varies between, say, at the age of 60, when a person goes out, and if that person is choosing this kind of annuity where he or she gets during lifetime, then the spouse gets during, thereafter it goes to the legal heir. So there it varies somewhere between 5.2 to 6%. Even if you take the highest amount, 6%, that is also pretty low, because today inflation rates are also very high. It's even close to 6.3%. Last 2 months you have seen where the CPI inflations are. So that way, actually, it is not giving any positive real return. It is a negative real return.
Right. And you've also talked about inflation-linked annuities and minimum assured return schemes. These two are also in the works. So could you just elaborate on how these schemes will benefit retirees and subscribers?
When we are talking about annuities, whether it is inflation-linked or normal annuities, it is the domain of IRDA. Because the annuities are to be actually approved by them, the new products and whatever it is, and the guidelines also has to come from IRDA. Mm-hmm. When we talk about inflation-linked annuities, actually IRDA created some working group, as I understand, and these are working on not only inflation-linked annuities, but inflation-linked products also. So once that committee report is out and they bring out some product, we'll be very happy to look into it. Because today, as I have told, just answer to the earlier question,
okay,
is that inflation rates are also climbing. So now I believe is the right time when the inflation rates are a little high. If we launch this kind of product and it is linked to the inflation in the market, so people will always get an upside when there is a high inflation rate. And they will also understand. Today, more than 6% is the inflation. A FD gives you less than 5%, 1 year FD. Less than 5%, or close to 5%. So that's where you are losing money. But here, what happens if it is directly linked to inflation? Yes, when inflation goes down, your rate also will go down. But it will have a linkage to the market, actual market rate, interest rate movements.
And more recently, PFRDA has raised the ceiling on corpus for making complete withdrawals from NPS corpus from rupees 2 lakh to 5 lakh. So what is the purpose of this relaxation?
The purpose of this relaxation was again linked to annuity rates. As I said, 6% annuity rate. So suppose somebody, earlier it was 2 lakh. So at the point of retirement, if you have 2 lakh, then you can withdraw the entire amount without going for annuity. That was the limit that was put in our earlier regulation. Now if you look at it, see, out of 2 lakh, if you know the NPS system, you can withdraw 60%, which is 1,20,000. And then you can annuitize the balance 40%. So 40% of 2 lakh is only 80. So 80,000, when it gets annuitized even at a rate of 6%, it gives you hardly 400 rupees a month as annuity. So nobody at the end of their lifetime, they are looking forward to having such a small sum as annuity. So we thought that instead of that, if we can increase the limit at least up to that, they can take away the whole corpus and they can utilize it maybe in a better way. By giving 400-500 rupees at annuity, I believe that person's whatever needs also are there are not met. So we debated and discussed and then took it to the board, and thereafter board also approved it. We are a pension advisory committee. There also it was debated. And people say 5 lakh will be a good amount, because above 5 lakh, even with 40% conversion, people will get at least 4 digits, say 1,000 rupees as annuity sort of thing. So whether 1,000 also will meet the needs, we really don't know. But under the circumstances, it looked better.
Then finally, what are the other changes or innovations that subscribers can expect in the days to come? Anything that's in the pipeline?
One is, as I said, like SWP and other things, certain things are connected with the amendment of the Act. But rather than that, I would try to focus on certain things here which are not connected to amendment of the Act and which we are looking into very actively. One is that this separation of the pension fund and NPS trust and reorganization of the entire regulatory body. For that, we have engaged a consulting firm recently, and I believe the first report will be out in 3 months' time. And along with that, we are creating a data warehouse here. So that is one thing that we are going into. And ultimately, all these things will relate to subscriber benefits and all that. We have, again, to increase the competition in the market, we have recently empaneled third record-keeping agency. Currently, we have two, NSDL and K FinTech. Now we have empaneled CAMS. And hopefully, by this calendar year end, by 31st December, their systems will be up and running, because they have to create the integration with all the distribution channels. We call them points of presence, POP, all the pension fund managers, the trustee direct and all that. So that is taking a little bit of time. So, but they said that by 31st of December, it will be up and running. And I believe with CAMS coming in, a lot of there will be, competition will be there in the market, and ultimately it will benefit all of us. Then one important decision we have taken, that earlier our distribution was related to points of presence, which are mostly banks, other banks like RRBs, payment bank and all that, and then maybe the NBFCs. And they are all institutions, if you look at it. So we thought that maybe we are missing out on one piece, that is, that who will approach the individuals like you and me, like they do in insurance or maybe in mutual funds. They go out to individuals and seek their registration into that particular product, whether it is insurance or mutual fund. And that needs some kind of explanation, some kind of awareness creation. And it can be done maybe by individuals in a big way. So now we have allowed individuals to join. This can be insurance agents, can be mutual fund distributors. All these people can come and join. And they will be actually recruited by the original points of presence who are working with us. We are not going to recruit them directly. So that is one part. We are at the same time reviewing the point of presence fee structure. As you know, the fee structure in for all the intermediaries in NPS system is so low that we are one of the lowest cost products maybe. But again, as I told you about the pension fund managers fee increase, here also we feel some rationalization is required. So there also we are looking into that. We are engaging resource persons in the same as in the lines of SEBI to ensure that a lot of financial awareness is created, because not only pension for all financial products, there is a huge knowledge gap. So that is to be met, and for that resource persons will be increased. And some changes in the product itself, like in Tier 2, we allow only up to 75% equity. But a lot of people are telling that Tier 2 is my optional investment. Why don't you allow even up to 100%? So that we are looking into. So similarly, some small changes there also we are looking into. Then paperless and online exit system also. It is not only onboarding, people joining the system, but at the time of exit also, so that you can have a paperless exit also. See, during pandemic, there are a lot of restrictions. So sitting at home also, they can exit.
Oh, finally, any changes in people's attitude that you have towards retirement planning that you've seen in the last few years? Anything that has changed? Are they willing to take more risks? Are they willing to invest more in equities? What has changed in the last few years?
Yeah, after we increased our equity option up to 75%, we have seen a lot of people
choosing that.
Yeah, younger generation, they are ready to take risks.
Okay.
So, our this thing is that let them come and join and choose their investment option accordingly, asset allocation. And right. About the awareness part, if you say, yes, we see decent growth, even during last year, during the strictest lockdowns also, we have seen decent growth. This year also on that growth, again, we are seeing almost 50% growth up to July in numbers in NPS. So that's okay. Shows people taking note of NPS as a retirement solution. Of course, it has so many other benefits in built, like it gives you a very, very decent return. Almost last 10, 12 years return, if you see on equity, it is more than 12%. On government security and corporate debt also, it is very close to 10%, maybe a little less than 10%. So for such a long period also, riding out different interest rate cycles, riding out different equity market volatilities also, if we are able to give this kind of performance, people are really taking note of that. And then obviously the exclusive tax benefit and all that. That also gives a lot of edge to our product.
All right. Thanks a lot for your time today. It was really great having you on the show.
Thank you.
With that, it is a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay locked on to moneycontrol.com.